Traore lifting his cross in. Here it is!
Ball game time.
Jimenez arrives! Ball game time. To place his header into the far corner!
We've been out for a while. So much football over the course of last season. Of course, no fans. Of course, COVID-19 fucking everything up. But we're back. We're back. Apologies for not being as consistent as we might have wanted to be. Busy with life, basically. The last time we recorded, I think we were on about 17 countries. Now we are on like 19, 20 countries. So that's some growth. We do hope to be more consistent. We're working hard behind the scenes to bring you the best quality content, trust me. For now, I just want to do a little preview. It's on in about 4 days' time, maybe 2 days before you get to listen. But I'll try to get the editing done as soon as possible. Anyways, guys, straight into the content. This is Ball Game Time's podcast. We're back solo today, and this could be how I'm going to do it for the rest of the Euros as well. Basel busy with life, but I'm kind of free right now, so I thought it was the perfect time to get back to recording again. Anyways, I'm going to start with the biggest headline in the past couple of days. Okay, maybe not a big headline like that, but this one caught me by surprise. Sergio Busquets, or let me call it the Spanish way, Sergio Busquets. Experienced player for Barcelona, but he's not on the plane to the Euros for his national team, Spain. And that worries me a bit because Luis Enrique has selected his side without Sergio Ramos in it. So that's so much experience not going to the Euros for La Roja. You'd have expected Busquets, with all of his experience, to kind of fill in that position and be a bit of a leader, a bit of a role model in the dressing room. But right now, Spain are without his services. He caught COVID-19, and Sergio Ramos has not been added to the side. And I don't know. It's crazy right now what Spain are going through. But when you look at that Spanish side and compare them to what they used to be from years before, maybe say 10 years ago, it's a completely different setup. And I'm not expecting any player to play from then on up until now. Okay, maybe Sergio Ramos and Busquets and who else? That's just about it. But it's a whole different atmosphere. There was a point in time when there were like 4 or 5 Barcelona players and Real Madrid players, and I thought that kind of helped them in terms of how much chemistry they had. I think that helps any national side. Right now, the Spanish national team, they have players cut out all around Europe, and that's gonna have an effect on how they're gonna play in this tournament. I don't see them going too far, to be honest, but they've got a couple interesting players. There's this guy from Villarreal, Gerard Moreno, scored in the Europa League final against Manchester United. Don't like to compare players from different generations, but if I'm looking at the team from 2010, that team had Fernando Torres, fam. They had David Villa Sanchez. That was a very strong team. For so many years before they won the World Cup and the Euros, they were pretenders. I think they've come back to being that already. So Spain, I see them getting knocked out early in this tournament. Let's go straight to neighboring Portugal. I think they're one of the favorites. They have a very decent side. Cristiano Ronaldo, forefront of it all, captain of the side. So many young players coming through. Ruben Dias has had an incredible season in England. Diogo Jota, I mean, we all know what he can do on the ball. João Felix as well, incredible talent from Atletico Madrid. And Bernardo Silva, they've got so many good players. Bruno Fernandes, I just can't look past this Portuguese side and say they're not favourites. They're definitely favourites. Cristiano Ronaldo is favourite for the Golden Boot. You know that guy, he loves to score goals. He's come under a lot of scrutiny at Juventus, but right now he's just focusing on that Portuguese side. The only problem I have with this, okay, maybe that's not even a problem. The manager is quite old. He's like 69 or something. Maybe that helps as well. After all, Fergie was manager until he was into his 70s. Maybe that helps them as well. Portugal, favourites. Spain, not favourites. Let me go talk about a player making his return to the national team for the first time after a 6-year hiatus. Karim Benzema, good player, one of the best players in the world. But this France side, I think they're lucky bastards, because I think you just take a player like Benzema just out of the bag, because they can. They're flexing on the rest of Europe right now. Benzema lost a penalty on his return, the first game he played. But I don't think that would be a problem. Giroud has a seatbelt right now on the bench, so he's going to sit on the bench, I think so. Benzema is going to spearhead the attack. They have Griezmann and Mbappe. What an attack that is for France. What an attack. And Jose Mourinho has been talking. He said, if France failed to win the Euros, then they would have failed. Trust Didier Deschamps. He has come out in defense of his side. And hilariously as well, he said he expected the same from Tottenham. Jose Mourinho's Tottenham. I think he's playing lip service here. He's trying to defend his side. He's trying to take the pressure off them. But this France team, I'm sure the players know. They know how much quality they possess from defense to midfield to attack to the goalkeeping department. And of course, being world champions, I think that's even more motivation for them. The fact that they can go on and win a double. Having won the World Cup, if they win the Euros, then that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, man, I just feel like France are definitely favourites. Another player who has made a return to his national side is Thomas Müller for the German national team. Incredible, because Thomas Müller is just one of those intelligent players who, if you don't really watch the game, if you never watched Thomas Müller play, then you probably don't understand how good he is. First time I saw Thomas Müller in the national team was way back 2010, World Cup South Africa. It was incredible. He was so incredible in that tournament. He wasn't a striker, but he won the Golden Boot that year, and that was down to his intelligence as a Raumdeuter, interpreter of space. Go check out the episode we did about this guy. He's back in the national side. And Germany, I just don't see them going too far, to be honest. But they have a very interesting squad. The core as well, coming from Bayern. The likes of Serge Gnabry, Nicolas Sula. I don't know if Boateng has been included. No, he hasn't. Thomas Müller, though, has been included. And that's good news for Bayern Munich fans and, of course, the man. For the manager, Joachim Löw, absolute legend, that man. Has been at the helm since the World Cup in 2006. He's calling it quits after this tournament. Hansi Flick, the man to replace him. I just don't see the sense in it, to be honest. I think Hansi Flick should have got his chance, but maybe Germany are playing the safe card right now. They believe they can still win it, obviously, but I don't think they can win it. Joachim Löw picks his nose. That makes me laugh so much. Shout out Spex Gonzalez, always joking about Joachim Löw picking his nose. And it's the fact. Maybe that helps him. Maybe that's a bit of his ritual before every game and during games. But Germany, nothing for now. Just go talk about Lewandowski now. Great season he has had in the Bundesliga. But I don't think the fact that he's from Poland, I don't think that helps his cause for becoming player of the year. But let's see how Poland do at the Euros this time. Let's see how they do. I just don't see them going far, to be honest. But if they go far, if they can create an underdog story like we saw with Iceland a couple years back, and I'm not even saying Poland are as much of minnows as Iceland, no disrespect Iceland, but if they can get to beat some of the big boys, then Robert Lewandowski would definitely be at the forefront of all of it. He's the talisman, captain, striker. If he scores goals, then maybe he can get himself back into reckoning, because right now it looks like N'Golo Kante is leading the race, that French side. If they go on to win it, then N'Golo Kante is definitely going to have a great tournament. We all expect him to. And maybe he's going to win it, finally. And I'll be very happy if Kante wins it, because it's mostly been about the strikers and the forwards, guys who score goals. Once we've seen a defensive-minded player win it, and that was Fabio Cannavaro way back 2006. So it will be a pleasure to see N'Golo Kante coming from humble backgrounds to becoming world's best player. I just keep going back to that French side because I feel like they're favourites. But you guys let me know, who are your favourites going into this tournament? For me, I'd say France are favourites, definitely. England are favourites, because you cannot have that much talent and say England are not favourites. So much talent in that English side. Portugal, obviously, favourites as well. And who else? Belgium? Can we call Belgium favourites? I'm not sure, honestly, but they got to the semi-finals of the World Cup. I think on that basis, Maybe I would say their favourite as well, but I'm just not very sure about the manager, Roberto Martinez. But if you look at the crop of players he's got, and the fact that Eden Hazard has dropped form as well, that kind of makes me look at them and feel, okay, all of their players, are they quite on the same level they were in 2018? The only one who has really stepped up to another level has to be Romelu Lukaku, because even before the World Cup in 2018, I would say Kevin De Bruyne was already doing bits in the Prem. Forget that he's one player of the season this year. I feel like he has dropped a bit in terms of his quality. Eden Hazard has dropped as well. Maybe that would have an effect on Belgium. We'll wait and see. I've seen Dedrick Boyata in the side. No disrespect to him, but Dedrick Boyata, man. The last time I saw him play meaningful football was at Celtic. I don't even know where he plays now. What in the name of God is Benteke doing on that squad? Because Benteke, yes, I know, I understand that he had a decent end to last season, but how does that justify him being on the squad list? It's just dodgy for me. He was so bad last season. My sister doesn't know jack shit about football. We watched a couple Premier League games together, but she knew Benteke was a bad player. She just knew about it because he kept missing chances. And in the end, maybe he's not even going to get game time. Maybe he's going to get 5 minutes, 10 minutes max to play. But he's a powerful forward. He's a very powerful guy. And maybe that's why Roberto Martinez is taking him along. Maybe when they're chasing games, they could actually bring him on to play alongside Lukaku. That would be mad. That would be next level madness. Let's go to the England camp. I have a very soft spot for England. Obviously got friends from there, got a lot of Nigerians in London, and yeah, so maybe that's why most Nigerians just have a soft spot for England. And the fact that we watch the Premier League in this side of the world, and the language as well, Nigerians, we speak English, so I cannot even lie the fact that I have a soft spot for them. I'm gonna make an 11, and I want you guys to tell me whether or not you're gonna agree with that 11. So for the goalkeeping department, it's kind of tricky because for a goalkeeper you need experience. They have Sam Johnstone, Jordan Pickford, as well as Dean Henderson for Manchester United. So Dean Henderson, for me, if I'm looking at just pure talent, he's up there. We've all seen him at Sheffield. We saw what he did at Manchester United as well. He got benched sometimes, but I think he proved a bit of what he could do. Maybe he's not ready yet in terms of international football. That remains to be seen. But I would go for Pickford in the end, just based off of how much experience he has gathered over the years. For a goalkeeper going to an international tournament, you want to have someone who has calm head, someone who is very experienced, who's comfortable. So maybe Pickford gets to start. Okay, not maybe, he gets to start for me. I would start him. I don't like the guy. I don't like his personality. I think he's got a shit personality. He's got short hands. He's an absolute bastard, because injured Virgil van Dijk, did not apologize. Evertonian, he's just... I'm spitting on him, but he's going to start just based off of how much experience he's got. For the right back, Trent unfortunately got injured. Thigh injury knocked him out of the tournament. He was so gutted, posted about it on Twitter. But yeah, man, right now it's unfortunate that he cannot make the squad. But England are still left with very, very good right backs. Kyle Walker is one, Kieran Trippier is another one, and of course the Chelsea man, Reece James. Incredible season he has had. Reece James, okay, I'm not going to select Reece James, but I just want to talk a bit about Reece James. I like how he approaches the game. I like how intelligent he is, even as a young player. He was at Wigan a couple seasons ago, played in midfield, was player of the season for them, and made the step up to play for his boyhood club at Chelsea. Right now, he's European champion. Very, very energetic young man. And I remember during the NSAS protests, he came out in support of Nigerians. So that's a guy, that's a very upright guy. He's just incredible. I think he's got an incredible future ahead of him. But right now, I don't think this is the Euros for Juris James. I took time to talk about him because I know how much he has put into this season. I quite acknowledge that he's an incredible talent, an incredible player who would give Trent another incredible talent. He would give Trent a good run for his money for the end of their careers. That would be a very, very interesting rivalry, a bit of a rivalry for who starts for England. But that's talk for another day. I'll go with Kyle Walker. Kieran Trippier has had a good season, obviously, with Atletico Madrid, was the best player for England at the last World Cup. So maybe he has a good shot as well. But in terms of how much they can bring to the plate, in terms of how much of an athlete they are, if you're playing a four-man defence, you just cannot look past Walker, especially because of what he has done with Manchester City in the Prem and in the Champions League this season. For the centre-back partnership, I would say, no, I'm not picking that fridge called Maguire. Maguire, good player for Manchester United, but he got injured towards the end of the season. And I'm not having that because, I've never rated him, to be honest. I've never truly rated Maguire. I think he's one of the problems right there for United. Yes, he does play well, but he's not on that level. He's not on the level he thinks he is. He's not going to start for me. I would start Tyrone Mings. John Stones, good player. He's going to play alongside Tyrone Mings for me. And at left back, I'm going to have Ben Chilwell. There's the argument about Luke Shaw, but Luke Shaw, for me, his end product is very poor. He's a very good player, but his end product is poor. So if you want somebody crossing the ball, and of course the partnership Chilwell has with Mason Mount with Chelsea, I think if they can't bring that into the national side, then it's a win-win situation for Westcott guy Southgate. For the midfield positions, I'll play three in midfield. It's going to be a flat midfield for me. Mason Mount on the left, Rice through the middle, and on the right side of fit, that's where it's going to be a bit difficult because Jack Grealish has had a brilliant season with Aston Villa, and the last game England played, he was man of the match. I think that was against Romania. Yeah, yes, just yesterday he was man of the match. So it's so difficult to ask him to sit on the bench. I can't imagine how difficult it is for Gareth Southgate. But Jordan Henderson as well has not played for Liverpool for like three, four months right now. So I don't know. He's so experienced, obviously. He brings a lot to the table. The coordination, he mops up. But the fitness is my concern right now. And there is also Jude Bellingham, who has had an incredible season with Borussia Dortmund. I understand he's only 17 years old. Maybe not as experienced as the others, but this is a very good player. We saw him play at the highest level in the Champions League as well, so why not? Might come across as a bit of a controversy, but fuck it, man. I would still start Jude Bellingham. I think he deserves to start. He's done enough to earn my respect, man. I mean, the England under 23s are so incredible. Yes, people, microphone check 1, 2. Welcome back. I'm going to look at players who would possibly become player of the tournament at the end of it all. And Mbappe comes to mind. Serge Gnabry comes to mind. Leroy Sané comes to mind. On afterthought, I think I'm going to do a complete 360 degrees on that Germany side. I just saw them batter Latvia 6-0. They sent a strong message to the rest of Europe. I said they were not going to go far. Maybe they are not going to go far, I don't know, but I would say they are dark horses because the last World Cup they did not do well. Maybe that kind of influenced my decision in when I said they would not go far. I think they are wounded lions. A core of the players coming from Bayern Munich as well. That's what people like Spain have benefited from in the past, and even Germany themselves. Right now they have Serge Gnabry and Leroy Sané. They also have can't remember his name, but there's that's Goretzka. Yeah, Goretzka is also from Bayern Munich. They have so many players from Bayern Munich, and I think that's going to help. I can't look past those two and say they're not contenders for player of the tournament. The ball has not been kicked, so maybe saying contenders is a bit far-fetched, but they could end up as being player of the tournament. Ronaldo as well is another option. Benzema, going to link up with Mbappe, but I think Mbappe is just the one I'm looking at from that French squad, because Mbappe is going to score goals, definitely. He's had a great season this time around again, 42 goals in all competitions. He's on fine form. He loves Benzema, and they are going to have a good time. Pogba down the middle, Kante doing the dirty job. You know, it's just going to flow for Mbappe, and I think this one is well shaped up for him to come out as best player of the tournament. We wait and see how it goes, but those are my options. KDB as well could end up being player of the tournament. Maybe he's coming into this tournament as I said before, not exactly on his level, on the level he was 2 years ago, 3 years ago during the World Cup in 2018. He's had a black eye in a challenge with Antonio Rudiger. I mean, how could I even have said Germany are not going to go far? I'm taking that word back. I'm taking it back. I've done a complete 360 degrees. Okay, if I say Germany are dark horses, would that be correct? Because there needs to be criteria for you to say a team is a dark horse. Maybe that would be a bit out of place to say Germany are dark horses, but they are one of the teams that could actually go far, to be honest. Players to watch out for. I've seen Dumfries play for the Netherlands. The guy who plays for PSV Eindhoven. He's so energetic, busting down that right wing. He's full of running. For a right back, the way he connects with the attack is so incredible to see. Another player who... okay, I'll go back to the player of the tournament nominees. Memphis Depay as well is another option. Good player for... He's the main man, obviously, for that Holland side. They've not been at a major competition for a while now. We did not see them at the World Cup. And even the Euros in 2016, I'm not sure they were there. So, anyways, let me go back to players to watch out for. Jude Bellingham, also another one to watch out for. Ben Gilmore, another one to watch out for that Scottish side. Scotland are at the Euros for the first time in God knows how many years. I don't know. I don't have that record right now, but I know it's been such a long time. In my lifetime, I've actually never watched Scotland in a major tournament. So you can guess what my age is, but I'm in my 20s anyways. Alexander Isak, another player who could come alive for that Swedish side. Zlatan Ibrahimovic is not going, so... Alexander Isak, Dejan Kulusevski as well, plays for Juventus, left-footed. He could actually light up this tournament. Jamal Musiala, if he gets to play for that Germany side, another player who could actually get so many people on their toes right there at the Euros. Pedri is another one. I said Spain were not going to go far. I'm still standing on that. But if Spain are going to do anything meaningful at this tournament, then Pedri will be at the center of it all. And yeah, I think he's one to look out for as well, and he's so young. Yeah, that's the size of it, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Over and out.